Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
Coming up next week, Tim and I are involved in a Bloomberg Live Growth Summit, talking with leaders of all industries on how they are finding growth, getting growth out of their existing businesses. And for more, you can head to BloombergLive.com to find out about the event or maybe join us. And in keeping with that, our next guest, because Mach 49, it's an incubator working with the likes of Goodyear, Hitachi, Intel, JetBlue, Shell, and more. And the founder and CEO is Linda Yates, and she's out with a new book.
Yeah, the new book is called The Unicorn Within, How Companies Can Create Game-Changing Ventures at Startup Speed. Linda joins us via Zoom from the Bay Area right now. And if you're watching us on YouTube or on Bloomberg Quick Take, you can see that shot. Linda, good to have you with us this afternoon. How are you?
It's great to be with you, Carol and Tim. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks so much for joining us and congratulations on the new book. You know, it's interesting that we use the term unicorn here. As you write, there are more than 840 unicorns. That means that companies that are valued on the private markets at over $1 billion. That's equivalent to $2 trillion in market cap. The big question is how do you recreate what these disrupting startups are doing and do that internally at a company that's established to make sure that it's not being disrupted? What's the best way to do that?
So it's, you know, if you think about it, large companies absolutely have an advantage over the startups. And I'm a Silicon Valley kid, right? Born and bred there. But large companies have ideas, they have talent, they have channel, they have brand, they have customers, almost millions of them. So they basically have the opportunity to beat the startups at their own game if they can overcome the orthodoxies, the inertia, and the antibodies. So where we like to start with our clients is we say, listen, there's no reason you cannot drive disruptive growth from within. It's like a double helix, though. On the one strand of the DNA, you've got the venture investing and frankly venture building. Both of those things kind of go together. On the other strand of the DNA, it's how are you going to basically seize the mothership advantage to help the ventures that you're building or the ventures you're investing basically reach escape velocity and thrive.
So Linda, you're not against entrepreneurship and startups, right? Or VC and that whole world, but you're just saying that large companies should kind of be doing more of it on their own internally.
Absolutely. If you think about it, there was a report that came out. And if you think about the Fortune 500 50 years ago, the average life of a company on the Fortune 500 list was 75 years. Today, it's 15 years and declining. And if you look at that list from 50 years ago, 88% of the companies that were on the list then are now out of business, off the list, or completely irrelevant. Only 12% remain. And our whole thing is, listen, there is literally no reason that any of the large hotel chains couldn't have created Airbnb. There's no reason that Tesla could not come out of any of the large motor companies.
So you're saying really be comfortable to disrupt your core business, which is so timely considering we're on a day where Facebook, now Meta, is looking to disrupt what it's been doing and it has churned out billions of dollars, trillions of, I don't know, like if you add it all up right over the years. But you're just saying, like, be comfortable with that. And for investors, be comfortable when a company does that. Mary Barra has been doing it pretty aggressively at General Motors.
Absolutely. And in fact, this is one of the things that we talk about all the time is, listen, it's about understanding customer pain, marrying that with the art of the possible. What's the current technology and trends that you can bring to solve that pain? And then placing a series of small bets. The problem that large companies have is they want to throw all this money into a single venture. It doesn't work. And they say, oh, that didn't work. Okay, we're not going to try that again, right? So our whole thing is, how do you remove the greatest amount of risk on the least amount of capital?
One thing I do want to say, and having worked with Johnson & Johnson a few years back and was out on the West Coast, out in San Diego, they did have essentially an incubator lab on site, and they encouraged startup companies to be in their facilities, tap into their expensive machines and expertise to work on whatever they're working on, with the idea that J&J could potentially get involved, invest, or buy them out or not, but just gave J&J kind of an inside look at what entrepreneurs were working on that they could basically maybe be involved in too.
100%. And so what we basically say is that what we're really helping companies do is build their growth engine, not just do venture building. In that growth engine, there are four arrows in that quiver. It's venture building, doing it organically, but it's also the buy, doing strategic and partnering, and also, so it's the build, buy, partner, invest. All of those are important. And that's exactly what is happening with J&J and a lot of these other things. You know, 3M did that even in the very early days, right? 20% of people's time could and should be spent on doing innovation. So all four of those, that those arrows in your growth engine quiver are important.
So I'm wondering about, Linda, the idea of big companies not being able to pivot. And in some cases, it seems like it's because they want the smaller companies to fail because those ideas are expensive. The idea that, you know, the next Pepsi or Coke or beverage, right, it could be developed outside of that company and then it would get acquired because they kind of do all the heavy lifting.
Let the venture capitalists and the invest, right? Like
exactly.
Private money.
Let the private money do that work. So how do you sell this to investors? Because look at the difficulty that Meta Platforms is having selling this to investors.
Well, so, and I actually think that we are actually doing a piece of research right now called Valuing the Unicorn Within. Because if you actually think about it, our large companies are in essence held back by the financial markets right now. All of the startups in Silicon Valley, when they go public, they get a hall pass for 3, 4, 5 years. The markets know how to value them. They value them on customer acquisition. They value them on revenue. But our large companies don't get that same hall pass, right? Their ventures get judged by the core and legacy metrics. And so we're actually working with companies now to create whole new growth divisions to overcome exactly what you're talking about, which is to give them a chance to, in essence, even if it's a blended valuation, if you will, but it gives them that chance to give their internal ventures the same types of valuations because they have the ability to be much more successful because of what the core competencies, assets, and capabilities that the big companies can bring to bear to help these ventures thrive in the open market. And so separating those two is becoming a very important strategy for a lot of our multi-billion dollar multinational public companies.
No, it makes a lot of sense, certainly in this environment. Hey, Linda, thank you so much. Linda Yates, founder, CEO at Mach 49, her new book, The Unicorn Within, How Companies Can Create Game-Changing Ventures at Startup Speed. And as we said, really timely considering the pivot that Facebook, or formerly Facebook, now Meta, is doing as it steps deeper into the metaverse. Speaking of deeper, the stock, shares of Meta, down more deeply, if you will, in the after hours. It's down almost 14% here.
Yeah, shares tumbling as revenue forecast misses at the midpoint. The third quarter was the second straight quarter of year-on-year revenue declines, Carol.